Troy Weaver sat down with the athletic beat writer for the Detroit Pistons, James Edwards III, and gave us a lot of info and told us how he's felt about this season, a few of the players. I want to talk about that, and we have a special guest on the podcast to talk to us about that with us. Let's get into it in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the most qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and easier. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. So in today's episode, we're going to be diving into an article from James Edwards III. We've talked a lot from stuff he's put out over the last week. He's really done a lot of good stuff, putting out some hit pieces, giving us a lot of info. So we're going to talk about some new stuff we got today from an article with Troy Weaver, an interview he had with him. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to have a special guest on from Detroit Bad Boys. His name is Jack Kelly. But right before we get into that, I do want to say this episode, we recorded this on Wednesday. It will be posted on Friday when you guys listen to this. So the game in Paris will be have played after we recorded this. So we're not going to talk about that game at all. It hasn't happened yet. So just want to give you guys a brief understanding on that, why you guys may be wondering why we don't talk about that in today's episode, because we recorded it the day before it. So, but anyways, let's get into it. Let's welcome Jack onto the podcast. Jack, I appreciate you coming on, man. This is the fan from Australia that I've told you guys about. He does incredible work over at Detroit Bad Boys, a tremendous contributor in the Pistons community. You can find him over on Twitter at Jack_Kelly_313. Jack, how you doing, man? I know it's really early over there. Are you used to being up this early, or are Piston games later in the day? Where are they at for you?
Well, Kush, thanks for having me, man. Like, I've been a follower of yours for a while, and it's really cool to be on the pod. So, first of all, big thank you to yourself for this opportunity. And then, yeah, man, it's currently 9 a.m. I'm someone who gets up at 5 a.m. So, man, this works well for me. Yeah, I'm a get up at 5 a.m., go for a run sort of guy. So this 9 a.m. is easy for me, man. And to be honest, most games are normally around 11, 11:30 a.m. So that's typically your 7, 7:30 p.m. tip-offs Eastern.
Oh, so that's not too bad. Not too bad. So fair enough. You probably are at work for a lot of the games, though, I'm assuming, because of that.
Well, that's why we like working from home. You know what I mean?
I wish, man. I wish that working from home all the time, man, is goated. I can respect that.
Yeah.
But all right, let's get into this article. So I really want you to just give me what your overall thoughts are, or what your biggest takeaway from this article with James Edwards. It's titled Troy Weaver Q&A Pistons GM on Rebuild, Killian Hayes, and NBA Trade Deadline. Again, it's at The Athletic from James Edwards III. What was your biggest takeaway from this article?
My biggest takeaway, and it's something Troy's spoken about ad nauseum since becoming the GM, is just finding the right players and waiting out the period and not rushing it. So he speaks about the character of guys. And I know that's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, but I feel like, especially right now, you only have to look over to the Houston Rockets to see what's going on over there with some of the backcourt turmoil they have, with the personalities in their locker room and the things going on there. And then you look at the Pistons, and throughout this entire process from when Troy took over, there's rarely been anything come up in terms of character, players arguing, anything like that. Like, I still think to date, the only thing we've seen between player coach, player to player, is really that Hamidou Diallo instance back in, I think, last season in Cleveland, where he walked off from the bench to the back to the locker room. And I know it's not the sexiest thing to discuss, but it's also, I put a lot of stock in like Troy's finding the right character players, and obviously talent as well as the main thing. But I think along with finding talent in the back end of the lottery, the mid first round, even Isaiah Livers in the second round, every one of these guys is high character. Their work ethic is unmatched. Like, we've got Sadiq going into the mountains all summer. Cade's like, there's something about Cade that's just draws you into him. I don't know how to describe it, but there's something about him. There's an aura. I mean, Stu. Yeah, I really, and the other thing, which it's something I've spoken about in the past is, and James asked the question about how the other teams in rebuilds at the moment, yeah, Oklahoma City Thunders, the Rockets and the Magic, they all got to ship out their franchise guys, their max contract guys, and get to kickstart their rebuild. The Pistons, unfortunately, Blake was past his prime when Troy took over and was a buyout. And then I know this was before the Weaver era, but they traded Drummond for pretty much, they got nothing really in return because, you know, that was their max slot and they had nothing to kickstart the rebuild. So I think that's something I've been saying to fans is just maintain patience because the Pistons really did start from like beneath ground zero. I don't even know what you call that, but those are my two takeaways.
No, I really like what you brought up. So we're going to talk a little bit later in the podcast in the second segment. He dove a little bit deeper into Killian Hayes specifically. We'll talk about what he said with that. But I really like the 2 points that you brought up, specifically the one about character guys. And like you said, a lot of fans overlook that is the correct word I was looking for. Character guys on a court, they're just like, oh, give us the good players. And obviously, you want good players, like easy, obviously. But you want to make sure that you have the right set of guys, the personalities meshed together. And I think you brought up a really good example of what's going down in Houston. What is happening in Houston? I don't think anyone really understands what the hell is exactly going on over there in Houston. And it's a lot of guys. I mean, we had John Wall. I don't know if all you guys listening, I don't know if even you, Jack Kelly, checked it out. But John Wall came out today or on a podcast. I think it was either today or yesterday when we were recording this. And it was like, when I was in Houston, I had to tell Kevin Porter and Jalen Green, like, the stuff you guys are doing here, if you guys were doing this in another franchise, you guys would be out the league. Like, that stuff ain't cool. You guys wouldn't be doing that stuff. And you know, all the stuff going on with them throughout this year already, I think, and Troy mentions this, when you're going through a rebuild and there's going to be a lot of losses, you're going to lose a lot of games, it's going to be tough, you want to make sure you have the right character guys that can handle that kind of thing, see the end goal, and work through it. Because losing has a negative effect on a lot of people. That can weigh you down, not want to put your best foot forward, not want to put in a lot of work. It can weigh you down. So you want to make sure you have the right character guys for that kind of thing. And he talked about that and you just talked about it. I think that actually is a really big deal. And I think it's partly why, moving into your second point, why the Pistons have found themselves in a pretty good position, despite the fact that they literally had nothing to start off with. Like you mentioned, Drummond was traded and for basically nothing. Blake was playing with one leg by the time Weaver got here, so you couldn't move him. Their best assets was Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown, and Sekou Doumbouya. Sekou Doumbouya, who got basically paid to leave. Bruce Brown basically paid to leave. And Luke Kennard was included with 4 second-round picks to get Sadiq Bey. So it's not like they turned those guys into like incredible assets. They had to attach assets to these guys just to get what they wanted. So I think those two things are incredible takeaways to have. And I do think a lot of fans need to understand that too, is that one, the high character guys are important. And two, just to remember that, like you said, the Pistons didn't have a Paul George to start off with, a Russell Westbrook to ship off. They didn't have James Harden to ship off. They didn't have none of this kind of stuff to really start and get assets back to jumpstart their rebuild. And some people would still say they're in a better spot than a lot of these rebuilding teams. Now, they got a little lucky, obviously, because they got Cade number one. But nonetheless, I think they're in a pretty good spot.
For sure, man. And that's the thing. With a lot of losing, if you don't have those high-character guys, like we've got Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, all extension eligible. I'd be shocked if any of them get an extension, but on a losing team, they could go out there and just trying to be get their own. And you don't see that. I know Sadiq take some questionable shots, but I think that's all within line with what Coach Casey's asking from him. Like, he's not going out of his way to hurt the offense. And not to continue to throw shade at the Rockets, but you look at some of the guard play, their effort on defense. I don't know. I can just see how if you had the wrong character guys, it could manifest into something bad.
Yeah, and like you said, before we move on, this is not meant to like take shade or take shots at the Rockets. And I'm not saying that Jalen Green or Kevin Porter or any of those guys are not good guys. Like, that's not at all what I'm trying to say. It just seems like from the outside point of view, and a lot, and John Wall spoke to it, and a lot of people have, I've seen it. I see a lot of Rockets fans complaining about it. So I don't think we're too off by saying something's up over in Houston. Something's not meshing together with, from the coaching staff to the GM, to all the way down to the players and how they play on the court together. Something's not meshing over there. And I think the Pistons are, you know, they're not much better in the win-loss column, but I think a lot of Pistons fans would probably say they feel like they're in a better position than the Rockets. I'm sure Rockets fans would disagree, but I feel like the Pistons fans can feel pretty confident about where they're at. So moving on from that, when we come back, Troy Weaver did dive in specifically on Killian Hayes. Now, he was obviously asked about that. He didn't go out of his way to do this, but he dove a little bit deep into how Killian Hayes has played this year and his turnaround. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, LinkedIn Jobs. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your job openings with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. What's a better way to start the new year by finding the perfect person for your small business by using LinkedIn Jobs? That's why it's rated number one by small businesses in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and easier. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that is LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, Jack, let's go ahead and get into some of the other things that were said in this article from James Edwards III with Troy Weaver. He dove deep into how he feels about Killian Hayes and his turnaround this year. How did you feel? Was there anything that he said that about Killian Hayes that stood out to you? Or what was your biggest takeaway from what he said concerning his first ever pick as a Piston, as the Pistons GM?
Yeah, well, I think what the takeaway for me was there's still a clear investment in Killian. And I know you would never expect Weaver to come out and say we've lost interest or something like that. But yeah, there seems to be a real bond between Killian and Troy. And we've seen Troy in Killian's ear on the baseline. We've seen him talking to Killian when he got ejected against the Mavs, the Magic. And yeah, there's a clear bond there, which I don't think you normally see perhaps between GM and player. But I mean, Troy referred to, he used like an example of how watching his kids go to college and come back and how they change and how it takes 2 to 3 years to see a change within a child, and talked about Killian becoming more Americanized and accustomed to the NBA game. And it does take 2 to 3 years sometimes for these players coming from overseas. And he finished by saying his growth has been different. I never wavered on the person or the player. And yeah, this season has been different. It's been one of the biggest, the most remarkable turnarounds I can remember. And to think where Killian was at the start of the season, essentially averaging, it was like 2 points on like 20% shooting in those first 10 games.
It was horrific.
Man. And like, man, I'll be honest, like I was pretty close to like being out on Killian. Like, I think I made some post about him and Siku just being out on French players. But yeah, I was really wavering. And then to see what he's done, like, I mean, everyone's seen the numbers, the shooting percentages, plenty still to work on. But yeah, my main takeaway was just that Troy still has a clear investment in Killian and Killian's improvement as a player. I mean, there's obviously now a real question of what does an extension look like for Killian, and that's exciting.
I think You mentioned it. What was my biggest takeaway? It was the fact that it seems like that there's a very clear, I don't want to say, like, I almost wanted, I have it written down right here on my phone because I take some notes before we record. I had the word favoritism written down on here, but I don't want to use favoritism. I take back that word because I just want to say investment. I think he used the right word. It seems like he very much so is invested in Killian Hayes, and rightfully so. This guy was the first pick he ever made. He was quite confident in that pick. And obviously, as a GM, there's some pride. There's some pride with players. There's pride with coaching staffs, GMs. Like, these guys don't want to be wrong. They don't like admitting that they're wrong. There's a level of pride that comes with it, and that's part of what makes a lot of these players and some of these GMs great, but it can also be part of your downfall. So it's good to, like, you have to kind of, like, weigh it. But I think it's quite clear if you read this that he is pretty damn confident in Killian Hayes and believes in him. And the other part that I really liked, or maybe not liked, I'm not going to lie to you. You mentioned the Americanized thing that he said in here. Now, the first time I heard this was when George Blaha said he is Americanized after he hit that step back three versus Dallas. I'm not going to lie to you. When George Blaha first said this, I was like, I don't know if that's the right thing to be saying, George. That kind of seems a little like, yeah. I don't want to say the word, but like that might, like, what's wrong with European people? What's wrong with the European player? I didn't like that he said that first. I was like, that might be taken pretty in the wrong way. But I see what they're saying, and I get what he's trying to say. I think it, unless you have, like, a vicious heart or something, you're not going to take it that way. And what I take away from when Troy Weaver said in this article is that he didn't play. There's a different style of play. I think Luka Doncic talked about this on the JJ Redick's podcast a few months ago. It's just a different style of play in the NBA than it is overseas. And I think there's some pros to overseas basketball and there's some pros to NBA basketball. It's just a different kind of game. But you have to learn, especially as a very young kid who is 18, there's some things that you got to learn. And you have to adjust the way you play. And you have to play with confidence. And somewhat, I think you have to play with some cockiness too. So I think that's all things that we didn't see from Killian the first 2 years and, heck, the first 10 games of this year. But I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, his play has improved. But I think Troy is right to point out that he just is playing with, like, a level of cockiness and confidence and a certain type of swagger that he just wasn't playing with in the NBA. I thought when you watch some of his overseas clips, that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me, is that he seemed like a kind of guy that was just out there playing and doing random stuff just because he felt like he could do it. And you hadn't seen that through his first 2 years, but now you're seeing that now. And, yeah, those two things would be my biggest takeaways from what he said about Killian.
For sure. And I think just to add on to the confidence thing, like, in his first two seasons, once in those games, Killian was confident, you would see the flair and his passes pick up. And I think I'm confident that Killian can play alongside Cade, but with Cade going out of the lineup, I think that just obviously gave Killian a longer leash and probably mentally allowed him to just go, all right, I can go out here and I might make a couple of mistakes, but I know I'm still going to get my 28 minutes, or I'm still going to have the opportunity to come back and bounce back. And he's surpassed that thought process now. Like, he comes into every game and, you know, I'm surprised when he's shooting under, like, when he's missing those mid ranges, like, he's found a go-to shot. I mean, we saw those three games he was out, like, this team's point guard play was, I don't even know what you call it. Like, it was trash.
So, yeah, it was not very, like, good.
And some of that is just because the roster is a losing roster. We're talking about a bottom three team in the league. But I think just seeing Killian now, he comes into every game confident. Like, he'll have a bad first half, a bad first quarter, and he'll bounce back. Like, I'm confident in him bouncing back now. And that's a massive, massive improvement for Killian.
Absolutely. So before we move on, let's move away from what Troy Weaver said real quick. Just, I want to get your thoughts. You kind of mentioned it, and James actually mentioned it in a question that he asked to Troy Weaver. Have you ever seen a turnaround like Killian Hayes has had within a season? I don't know if I can think of one that happened within a season. I've seen players from season to season turn their careers around, but where he was at the beginning of the year, shooting like 20%, I think it was at like 16% from deep, 2 points a game, and he's had such – now, I need everyone to understand this. At 20% from the field, the first 11 games – 16% from deep, and now we are at game 44 of his season, and he's worked those percentages up to 39% from the field, 33% from deep, and he's at 10 points per game average. I don't think people understand how he has to play after that point just to get those percentages and points per game to where it is right now.
No, it's insane, man. I mean, in terms of turnarounds, I've seen the reverse. I've seen in my 10 years of being a Pistons fan, plenty of hot starts that end up being nothing. but in terms of a turnaround, like, honestly, I haven't. And I can't think of one that comes to the top of my mind. Like, just the stats you've just laid out there, like, the amount of shots a player takes in like a 15 game sample and like to turn that around to what he has, and hopefully he can get that field goal closer to 45% and keep boosting it up. But yeah, it's remarkable. I haven't seen anything like it in my years as a fan.
So just to give an accurate description of what he's been since the first 11 games, over the last 33 games, he's at 43% from the field, 36% from deep on 4.2 attempts, 83% from the free throw line, 12.3 points, 6.6 assists, 3.2 rebounds, and 1.5 steals. I think if anyone predicted that's what he was going to do this season, everyone would have been absolutely ecstatic about where he was heading. And that's what he's done over the last few months. So I agree, man. I've never seen something like this before. I'm one of the biggest Killian guys out there. And those first 11 games had me ready to just, I was ready to jump out this window back here. Like it was tough. Yeah,
and people were coming after you as well.
Right. They were coming after me, man. I had to take Killian Hayes' believer out my bio on Twitter. It was getting scary. But he's turned it around, and that's really good to see. Is there anything else you want to point out real quick about Killian before we move on?
Just a random thing. I've loved how he started taking charges in transition.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's sort of – I feel like the Pistons haven't had anyone like that since Blake Griffin. He was really good at taking charges. But, yeah, you'll see him now just step in on an opponent's fast break and try and get that charge. And, you know, that's just another little thing to add to his game.
One other thing that he's done that I see, like, his teammates, like, laugh and, like, smile when he does it. Like, oh, he just got away with it again. It's those charges. And then also when he comes off an off-ball screen trying to defend somebody, and as soon as he gets contact, he just flies backwards and sells the contact and gets the offensive foul on the screener. Every time he does it, I see one of his teammates look at him and give him, like, a sly smile, like he just got away with it again. Those are two things I've seen him do that were pretty funny. But, yeah, he's turned it around, man. And Troy Weaver seems like he believes in him. And I think a lot of Pistons fans have regained a lot of faith in Killian Hayes. When we come back, though, I want to talk about the rest of the team and just get Jack's thoughts on where the team is right now. Have they met some of his expectations? Individual players, have they met expectations? Have they fallen short, et cetera, et cetera? Just get his thoughts overall on the season thus far on January 18th. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. I got to tell you guys about Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. We've just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, when you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then I got the perfect thing for you. You got to try the Built Bars. With Built Bar, they're healthy and actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, my favorite, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been telling you guys to order your Built bars at Built.com. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. Again, make sure you head to those stores or Built.com to try Built Bar. It's the best-tasting protein bar ever, incredibly healthy for you, 100% real chocolate, and again, amazingly healthy for you and tastes brilliant. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Jack, before we get into the overall season so far, and, you know, where have they, some of these players met your expectations, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. We're recording this a day before the Paris game. By the time everybody listened to this, the game will have been played. What do you think? When people are listening to this podcast, do you think they'll be listening after a win or a loss?
I'm going to say a win. One, for a couple of reasons. I think Kylian playing in France, I feel like the team will lift for him, for the rise to the occasion. But I also, the main reason is the Bulls just can't play bad teams. Like, they have, like, a really good record against, like, the Celtics, just the top of the East and West Conference. But then when it comes to playing the bottom feeders, they have struggled. So they've already beaten the Pistons once in their last meeting. So maybe the Pistons are due for a win.
All right, fair enough. All right, so let's get into the rest of the season. So we're on January 18th when we're recording this. We're at 47 games into the season. So we're a little over halfway through the season already. My goodness, season's going by so fast. Feels like just last month it was the offseason. But anyways, through 47 games, Jack, let's start here. Who are some players that you feel have exceeded your expectations before the season?
Well, I think first and foremost is Killian Hayes. We've touched on him, so I won't go too in-depth about his improvements. But Killian Hayes has been one. Bogey Bogdanovic. I mean, I knew he could shoot, but I wasn't aware of the self-creation he had. Like, I knew he had a little bit off the bounce, but... And I know that, like, his pick-and-roll stuff has been frustrating at times, but I wrote an article in the middle of December, and he was, like, the sixth or seventh best or most efficient ISO scorer in the league. So this team, and I'm sure you'll touch on this across the next couple of weeks with the trade surrounding Bogey, but I feel like he's really helped this offense it's pretty poor, but just stay afloat. Like, I feel like he's really helped someone like Killian thrive. His spacing, just the spacing he brings to the floor, has helped the whole team operate. And so he's exceeded expectations. Alec Burks, I mean, he's just a bucket. Like, he just comes in, and like, it feels like he hasn't been missing of late, you know, off the dribble, drawing fouls. I'd love Cade to have a chat to Alec about his foul drawing ways, because he'll just flail his arms, man, and he just gets to the line without even attacking the basket. So he's exceeded expectations. And then Isaiah Stewart, you know, I'm a big Stew guy. And up until probably the past 10 games, I've been really, really impressed, and I've by no means fallen off. But his three-point shot has, and I think he's getting close to 15 games now where it's been like around 20 to 25%. So it'd be really nice to see him just, you know, go on another stretch, a nice stretch from three. But I think this season, if you didn't already know, Stu's solidified in this team's future, barring like a major trade. I think whether he's a starter or coming off the bench, he's a winning player, and you see it in his effort and the things he can bring to the floor defensively. And then Jalen Durant, he's been impressive at times, obviously still young, but you see the flashes with him. He's just an unreal athlete, and that the passing as well, I feel like there's something there that can be utilized in the future. So those would probably be my five or so players that I think have exceeded my expectations.
Fair enough. So you have a lot of the same players that I've talked about a lot on this podcast. I want to real quick, though, say that the Pistons, just kind of rebuffing your point with Bojan, the Pistons offense is 6.2 points better with Bojan on the floor. That's the highest of any player on the team. They're at 112.0 with him on the floor. When he's off the floor, they go all the way down to 105.8. So 100%, he's defensively, they're pretty bad with him on the floor, but 100%, like, he, so look, I didn't know this number before looking. I'm this wasn't supposed to happen, but I just glanced over. He has the third worst defensive rating on the team. They're at 140.1 when he's on the floor. But definitely what you said offensively, he's made this team better offensively. When he's on the floor offensively, it takes some of the pressure off of some of the young guys, and that definitely is valuable, no matter the defensive stuff, even though that can drive a lot of us crazy. So definitely Bojan's been a little better than even I thought he would be offensively, and I sung a lot of his praises when they made the trade. I agree, obviously, Killian Hayes has rose above my expectations. Isaiah Stewart as well, we brought up on the podcast, last few podcast episodes, that he's shooting around 25, 26% over the last 15 games. We want to see if he can break out of that slump. But even with that, I've been happy with some of his improvements. I do buy that the outside shot at least is somewhat improved. Before the last 15 game stretch, I thought it was just like, oh my God, this is way better than I thought. The last 15 games have gave me a little bit of a pause, like, okay, where exactly is he at? But either way, I think he's going to end up as a pretty improved shooter nonetheless, and I'm happy with his improvement. Jalen Duren is the other one too, 18, 19 years old, youngest player in the league. What he's been able to do at this age already beating out Marvin Bagley before Bagley even got hurt for the starting center, powerful, whatever you want to say they were at, position on the team. He's been, for his age and where he was at, exceptional in my opinion. He has a lot of stuff to work on. Obviously, he's very raw, but again, as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, youngest player in the league, been absolutely exceptional for me. So those are the three guys that that have really exceeded expectations for me. I haven't talked much about Bojan and Alec Burks outside the fact that they've been good veteran pieces for them. And Alec Burks, since he's returned, they've had the best bench in the league. So I've talked a little bit about that, but I focused more on the young guys, and maybe I haven't talked enough about the vets, but those two guys for sure have exceeded what I thought they would even bring to the team before the year. Like, I didn't think Alec Burks would just make this team the best bench in the league. Like, I didn't think he'd do nothing like that. I didn't think Bojan would be close to 50, 40, 90 this far into the season. Like, I didn't think that would happen. So they've exceeded expectations. Now, Jack, let me ask you this. So we have Bryce Simon of the Pistons Pulse on here a lot. And obviously we host a watch party. You've guessed it on there before, at Pistons Watch over at playback.tv. If you guys want to join us, you can. But Bryce, I hope you're listening to this, man. But Bryce tends to, a lot of the listeners and a lot of people feel like Bryce takes a little bit of a, what should I say, a little bit of an optimistic route and always tries to bail out when I ask him tough questions. He always tries to give the little quarterback answers and stuff, you know. We love you, Bryce, but if you listen to this, you know you do it. So I'm going to ask you this. Who has not met your expectations this so far this year? Who do you think has fallen below expectations?
Unfortunately, this is a guy I was high on, for right or wrong, coming into the season, and it's Marvin Bagley. And I know he's injured, but I'm not sure if he's coming back this season, but regardless, in the 20 or so games he played, he had some nice games, but I feel like I feel like we didn't see him used in pick and roll much for a start. So I'm not even sure if that's actually on Marvin himself, but even just some of his rebounding, it just feels like last season he was just so much more active on the boards. I don't know if the rebounding numbers are different, but it just feels like the rebounding dropped off a little bit. It was a bit inconsistent. Like, I'm sure he's had some 10 rebound games, but just as a whole. And defensively, I mean, I never thought he was a great defender, but when you're not impacting offensively as much as you were to end last season, that stuff becomes more glaring. And just some of his shot selection at times, like, I mean, I was hoping the three-point shot, you know, we saw him working on it in the offseason. I was hoping he could implement that, but sometimes he just got a bit trigger happy from three. Even if it only is two a game, like, you're sort of bailing out the defense there. Like, you do your best work down in the paint. Like, even though you're not the strongest guy, you're agile, you can use your spin move out of the post. Like, I love when he goes to that move. That's one of his go-tos. But I just feel like, yeah, he just seemed a bit lost this season. And I'm not sure if that was because of the MCL sprain and then coming back and Jalen Duren being ready so quickly. Like, maybe that's why. But yeah, Marvin Bagley was someone I was pretty high on coming into the season. And yeah, I would say he has not met the expectations I had.
All right. So I have two guys, and one of them is Marvin Bagley, and the second one is Sadiq Bey. But you mentioned Marvin Bagley, so I want to dive into Marvin Bagley real quick. So you mentioned you didn't know if the rebounding numbers were a little bit worse, et cetera, et cetera. They are a little bit worse. Through his career, for the first four years of his career, he averaged 7 rebounds a game. This year, he's averaging 5.8 rebounds a game. And we just talked about Marvin Bagley. Actually, on the last podcast I recorded, we actually talked about how he had a few games where he would have 10 rebounds a game. And we'd come on the podcast and we'd talk about, oh, he was really fighting on the glass. He was being really physical. But there was just way too many. There was just way, way too many games where he just didn't the Pistons got abused on the glass when he was starting. There was, look, there's a stretch here for a good week and a half where it's 5 rebounds, 4 rebounds, 2 rebounds, 4 rebounds, 3 rebounds, 6 rebounds, 4 rebounds, 4 rebounds. Like, that can't, you can't have that if you're going to be a big man in the league, especially when you're trying to play quote unquote big at the time, like they were trying to do. That just can't happen. So that was very disappointing. Like you mentioned, the 3-point shot didn't improve this year that much. I don't think we've seen it improve at all. From the corners, he was at 14%, which was one area I thought he maybe could improve on, because one year he shot 40% with the Kings, albeit in a small sample size, but that wasn't well. And then also, obviously, like you mentioned, his defense just hasn't been – I mean, we knew his defense wasn't great, but it's just – like you said, if you're not impacting the game just crazy offensively, it's going to be hard to kind of avoid that defensively if you're not impacting it like that offensively. So that's where I'm at with Marvin Bagley. I agree with that. And then Sadiq Bey is another player that I feel like has not met at least my expectations for this season. Now, he's gotten his 3-point shooting up to 33% of the season. We talked about him last podcast, actually, how the last four games he actually has been playing pretty well. I believe he's at 21 points a game, 43% from the field, I think, and 38% from deep, I believe. But on the seasons at 33%, he was once at like 28%. So he's gotten that up a little bit. But if you guys remember before the season, I talked about one of the things I wanted to see was him not to fight to get above 40% from the field. Like, I didn't want to see him hovering around 39% again, and that's what he's doing right now. He's just at 40% this year. The defense is taking a little bit of a step – or I don't want to say a step back. Maybe it was always just not very good. I know he's improved in some finishing areas, but some of those things have kind of like – I'm starting to question whether we actually have seen a big improvement in that area, because he's only went from 45 to 46% from the 2-point area, from the 2-point range, yeah, from this year to last year, or last year to this year. And with some of the defensive things and how he hasn't really taken that step for his outside shooter, I feel like he hasn't met the expectations I had for him before the season. I think I'm starting to see, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you haven't seen this, but I think at the beginning of the year, Killian Hayes was the most polarizing player in the Pistons team. I think Sadiq is kind of like starting to get to that point where he might be the most polarizing player amongst the fan base.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely sneaking up. I would say it's still Killian. Like, you post something about Killian on any social media platform, like, it's blowing up for good or bad. But I definitely, the frustration with Sadiq has definitely grown amongst the fan base for sure this season. I think, like, Sadiq's been a player I've been up and down on, up and down. Like, I've been, of the three 2020 draft picks, he was the one I was probably the lowest on. But then with Killian's struggles, I became, you know, he became at the top. And it's just, it's been a bit of a rough, topsy-turvy sort of, I mean, 3 years for Sadiq. And obviously, he had a pretty successful rookie season. And then it's just been trying to find what is his role. And I think right now, I said this on a podcast the other week, like, I think I'd like to see him just go back to that bench role. I know, like, there's injuries and stuff that have brought him into the starting lineup at times, but I just want to see him get his confidence back. Cause like you said, he was shooting like 55% on twos, probably in the first 20 games, I want to say. I could be wrong, but it was first 15, 20. And now, like you said, that's down to 45%. So I think just get your confidence back for the rest of the season. Go out, score with that second unit. And then in the off season, you go back and you focus on the defense and just shoot and catch and shoot threes. Like, because I think after these two seasons, it's somewhat obvious that Sadiq's going to make his money in the league just shooting threes and playing at least league average defense.
All right. So we'll wrap it up there with, and by the way, I agree with everything you said. I was one of those ones before the year this year that said, I didn't want to see any of this extra stuff from Sadiq trying to ISO anything. I just wanted to see him be a good outside shooter. I thought that was his pathway to being a long-term player in this league. So I agree with you. But we'll wrap that up. I do want to end this, though, with three questions for you. Simple yes or no's right here. I'm going to put you on the spot. Does Bojan Bogdanović get traded? Do you believe he'll be traded before the deadline?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you believe Alec Burks will be traded before the deadline?
No.
And then this is this is a sneaky one that we've heard some rumors about. We just talked about him over the past month. Sadiq Bey, apparently, a lot of teams are interested in him. Do you actually believe that the Pistons will pull the trigger on a Sadiq Bey trade?
No, I don't think so.
I'm there. I agree with all the ones you said. I don't think they actually will pull the trigger on a Bay trade. I think they like Burks and his role, and he's very cheap for next year, so I could see him staying as well. I do believe, however, Bojan is as good as gone. That's where I'm at with it. But all right, wrap it up there. Jack, that was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with you, man. I hope you guys all enjoyed listening. You guys can find Jack over on Twitter at Jack_Kelly_313. You can also find all of his work at Detroit Bad Boys. Again, like I said, he does a lot of good work there. And if you're on Twitter, make sure you're following him. He does a lot of good content on there, supporting the Pistons community and all that. I really like Jack and his work, so I wouldn't be recommending his stuff if I didn't. So definitely go check all that out. Appreciate you coming on, Jack. I know I actually thought this would be like really bad time over in Australia. I thought it would be like 3 in the morning. I didn't know the time zone, but I'm glad to find out that it is just 9 o'clock in the morning. And I don't have you like dead tired in the middle of like dead sleep trying to talk on the podcast. But I appreciate you.
100%, man. Thanks so much for having me on, and love everything you're doing. So yeah, man, keep going. You're killing it. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. You guys can find the Locked On Pistons podcast over on YouTube. If you listen to this on the podcast platforms, hit that subscribe over there or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on. Thank you for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. And until next time, I hope by the time you guys listen to this, the Pistons did win in Paris, but we don't know yet. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe. Go Pistons, and peace out.